Hello and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutin.
Welcome to Consider This, the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. Today, His Royal Highness, the Yang Di-Pertuan Agong, met with Prime Minister Muhyiddin Yassin and also separately with leaders of the opposition, including Anwar Ibrahim, Lim Guan Eng and Mat Sabu, on the question of the management of the pandemic and the emergency. The Yang Di-Pertuan Agong is expected to meet the former Prime Minister, Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad, tomorrow and others before he convenes a special meeting with the Conference of Rulers a week from today on the 16th of June. Now, the last time a special conference like this was held was last October to discuss Prime Minister Muhyiddin Yassin's first state of emergency proposal. Media reports are now emerging that shed some light on the agenda of these meetings. However, there is still much uncertainty about the full significance of them. And joining us on the show tonight to help us interpret these news updates, we have Associate Professor Dr. Hamidin Hamid, political analyst at University of Malaya. Dr. Hamidin, thank you so much for joining us on the show tonight. Now, what do you make of the unfolding events of these past few days? I mean, there's been a flurry of palace meetings with political leaders, and now there's news of a ruler's meeting about the emergency and the pandemic management of this current government. And I'm wondering, there's been so many rumours abound. How are you making sense of it all, Dr. Midin?
Okay, Melissa, thank you. Thank you for having me. I think what's happened today, when the Yang Di-Pertuan Agong gave an audience to Anwar Ibrahim and other PHL leadership and Mat Sabu and Lim Guan Eng, I think is something that accumulating for months already in the making. I remember, I think a couple of months ago, just about a month after proclamation of the emergency, Yang Di-Pertuan Agong did mention that the parliament can convene, and after that we can see the skyrocketing of the numbers for the COVID in the country, in my point of view, and the pressure given by the anti to end the Darurat committee. And I think what happened during the past 2 weeks, and then that leads to the MCO 3.0. All this, in my point of view, event definitely attract attention by to the Yang Di-Pertuan Agong. And obviously, because the absence of parliament, I think under the constitutional monarchy, Yang Di-Pertuan Agong have his right to call a political leader to gain, in my point of view, some advice. What's the next course of action? We may understand that by next week, I think it's going to have a meeting with the Conference of Rulers, special meeting, which I think definitely will convey whatever decisions or whatever message conveyed by Tuan Agong to the most of the political leaders. Me, at this particular time, in my analysis, I really think that what the advice given by Tuan Agong to most of the political party is about the role and responsibility of each of them, meaning the party and political leaders, to put the country first rather than continuing a political bickering to take over the government. I think that's definitely the message delivered by the palace.
But Hamidin, if we look at you bring up the point about political bickering, of attempts to replace the government of the day, that's not been in the news for several months now. But what has been in the news is most recently a statement made by the Selangor Palace, which in very detailed ways outlines the unhappiness of His Majesty, the Sultan of Selangor, about the management and how it affects his state. And, you know, so it's very interesting that one might discount public and social media disenchantment with the current government. But when somebody like His Royal Majesty, from Selangor speaks up, surely that's putting pressure on the Agong as well to respond.
Indeed, Sharad, I think that's a good point that you raised. Definitely, I think this is where I think Yang Di-Pertuan Agong already mentioned. I think the first, if you look at the situation, the first action was taken by Sultan of Johor, actually, when he requests all the members of the parliament and Dewan Undangan Negeri in Johor to convene a meeting, even though unofficial because of the Dewan Undangan Negeri cannot convene because of the emergency, to take actions, better action, vis-a-vis with the pandemic. I think the same thing happened with the statement delivered by the issued by the Palace of Selangor 2 days ago. In my point of view, that give a big question mark to the efficiency of the current government in tackling the COVID-19 together, even though emergency was declared. Obviously, I think all that combination give, I think, a strong reason for the Yang Tuan Agong to summon up the political party to, in my point of view, to very much gather more ideas from them about how to manage the situation, because it seems that not all the people are very happy with what's happening, action being taken by the government so far.
Right. Dr. Mithin, I just wanted to ask you whether you thought who was invited for these audiences with the Yang di-Pertuan Agong, who was not invited, the sequence of these audiences. Does all of that matter in terms of, you know, discussing the current state of affairs, or are we reading too much into this?
No, I think, Melissa, I don't think so. I think definitely we will see who will be called by the Yang Agong. But so far as we know, that it seems that everyone, every political leaders were given time and slot to meet Yang Agong, either virtually or in person in the palace. We know that Sarawak GRS party will have the audience, so too with Shafiq Afdal and others leadership, Tun Mahathir Mohamad, even though, for example, even though Pejuang is not registered as a party, but Mahathir Mohamad was given the audience to Yang di-Pertuan Agong. So with that, in my point of view, Palace really show that they are act under the constitutional monarchy, where they are consulting everybody that they think is a major stakeholder in terms of political party. In my point of view, what's happened now, the ball is not so much in the Palace court. Now, in my point of view, the ball is in the government and the opposition, but meaning the politician. How are they going to react towards this? And I think the people are going to be judged them on on their reaction toward this. Are they still want to be bickering, or how are they going to reach some consensus, in my point of view, a point where they can get together, especially, in my point of view, to convince back the parliament? I think that is the most important things under the democracy, to convince back the parliament to have a discussion. Yeah.
Yeah, Hamid, this is very interesting, because in February, the palace released a statement clarifying that that there is no problem for parliament to convene during the emergency. And yet, there was no response from the executive. You know, it wasn't taken up. And in fact, the most recent statements by Hamza Zainuddin, the Home Minister, suggest that he doesn't want to see parliament open until there's herd immunity, whenever that is you know, achieved. And so there seems to be an antipathy towards opening parliament on the part of the executive. They are clearly not responding to these cues by the palace. I mean, what's changed today or in recent days that you think might persuade the executive and the current government to act differently?
I think we look at. I think I can see that from many angles, Shirat. Yeah? In my point of view, first of all, we look from the current situation of the COVID. In my point of view, because even the emergency was declared, the numbers are not going down, but we are facing now the third MCO, which I think give question a lot of government measures taken towards the control of the pandemic. I think that give raise a lot of question about that. And this is where, in my point of view, people are asking why, despite all this, the parliament are still not convinced. And in my point of view, because of that pressure and many other pressure, especially politically, in my point of view, because of the current situation, we know that UMNO election have to be delayed. There is some problem within the past party, for example. So all this internal political dynamic also give a very much race to the matters to in my point of view, for the government to bring it to the next level. And the next level, in my point of view, is very much how to convince the parliament. How to and that, if you look a couple of days ago, Tak Yudin issued a statement that they are going to study the hybrid system and others. At least, in my point of view, that is a step forward for them to acknowledge that parliament is no problem for them to convince the parliament. But as you said just now, we can see even within the government itself, Hamza Zainuddin clearly is not the one that in favor of the parliament. But in my point of view, there is some other group in the cabinet who are pressuring Prime Minister to convince the Parliament.
All right. Can I ask you, Dr. Mudin, there's been so many people who've raised the issue of unity government, and I wanted to ask you what you thought about that in terms of whether this is the right approach, this is the best way forward under current circumstances.
Yeah, I think if you ask me, now it's very much a bit too late, Melissa, for Muhyiddin Yassin if he wants to form a unity government. I think he should do that in the first when the declaration of emergency was declared. Remember this, I think there is a big difference between the current emergency and in 1969, the migrant time. Historically, actually, it's not the same. But at least it's given advantage for Muhyiddin then to very much to have a better team in managing the country. Okay, if before the emergency, his hand is tight because of the political situations, compromise where he has to appoint people from UMNO and others. Now, because of the emergency, he has the better hand, in my point of view, to think and put the country first. But he failed to do that. So, in my point of view, yes, there are still opportunity for him to do that. The unity government, bring in the more capable people to sit in the cabinet. But I don't think under the current political situation, Tan Sri Muhyiddin have the enough asset to negotiate when it comes to that.
You know, I mean, it'd be horrifying to have more people in cabinet. This is one of the largest cabinets in the history of the country. But yes, more competent people for sure. I do want to ask you this. I mean, is there something in the DNA of the current government, or in fact, in any government in Malaysia, about sharing power and, you know, reaching across the aisle? Because we noticed that even in this discussion of the hybrid parliament, the opposition representatives were cut out. They were not included. And we know so many of the problems of the management of the pandemic have to do with, failing to share information, with the state of Selangor so that they can manage the pandemic better. So there seems to be a real reluctance to share power, to share responsibility. Where do you think that's coming from? And can anything, persuade those in power to become much more open and inclusive?
All right. Thank you, Sheila. I think that's a very, very valid question in my point of view. This is where I always sometimes put it in a very simple way. Welcome to the reality of Malaysian politics. This is where, as the famous director said, culture is a strategy for breakfast. It's similar when it comes to the political situation in Malaysia. Yes, we do expect, as you said just now, looking at the majority of the political situation in Malaysia, looking at the level of socioeconomic development, the political literacy of the countries, in my point of view, the booming and the active situation of the social media, we do expect our politicians to act differently. But, as you said just now, most of them are behaving like in the 60s and 1970s. And this is where I think here in Awani before, I mentioned that I do really hope this is the opportunity for Malaysian politicians to show their maturity, to show their sincerity about to put the country first. I think we have enough experience, enough history where we see that they are very much full of realists in the political situation in Malaysia. And we do expect them to give up some of that for the betterment of the society. But it's still a long way to go, Gerard. But in my point of view, the most important thing is for us to continue pressuring the government to behave, pressuring the politician to behave for the betterment.
We already have, it seems, moral suasion left. Because I guess the pandemic precludes people going to the streets at the moment. That's because true of Malaysia, maybe not true of other countries. But, we had Munir Majid on our show last week. And when we talked to him about his ideas for unity government, and we asked him who would be that honest broker who could bring different sides together and build trust, he actually said the Prime Minister, the current Prime Minister Muhyiddin Yassin, he said he has to rise above the fray, as it were, rise above the factions, of which he's one leader. The question is he capable of doing that? And, will it in fact, be a situation where the palace might have to play this, or some other leaders in the country playing this honest broker role to get politicians to think beyond their own survival.
I think under the current circumstances, it's very much difficult for Tan Sri Muhyiddin to play that role, Shara, in my point of view. Because I think first, as I said just now, he have very much not many assets left in his stake for him to negotiate, first thing. Second thing, in my point of view, the fluidity of the political party in Malaysia now, even within the PN, PAS or UMNO, is very much fluid, which in my point of view, nobody dare to claim that they have the bigger say or controlling of any party as it is now. So with that, in my point of view, is going to be very difficult. And I'm glad, personally, I'm glad that Yang Di-Pertuan Agong plays role under the constitutional monarchy, which, in my point of view, can be done. Remember, this is where we can learn from history a bit. Okay, in 1969, after the emergency, it is Yang Di-Pertuan Agong who appointed Tun Razak. Definitely, as you said just now, as a leader, as a prime minister, Tengku Abdul Rahman, a big heart and accept the appointment of Razak as the head of Magiran, who have the sole power at the particular time. And definitely at this time, in my point of view, Tan Sri Muhyiddin can play that role. But I doubt he can play that role looking at the survival of him and survival of Bersatu as a party.
Right. Well, thank you so much. That was political analyst Hamidin Hamid trying to help us make sense of what's happening in the political landscape. We're going to take a quick break here on Consider This, but more on this topic in just a couple of minutes. So stay tuned.
It's self-control, self-lockdown itu penting. Lebih kurang pergerakan, maka lebih sukar untuk COVID menjangkit kita.
Untuk tempoh 2 minggu ini duduk di rumah, kalau kita boleh laksanakan KKP kendiri dan keluarga,
saya kira insyaAllah kita boleh berjaya. Akhirnya kita menang.
Untuk memastikan Malaysia ada ke depan,
kita boleh maju. Induknya adalah Melayu.
Balik kepada sebuah Islam. This is orang yang membuat polisi.
Kalau itu yang dia kandaki, fine. Mungkin kita berbeza pandangan.
Tapi kita mempunyai kuasa yang boleh menentukan budaya di masa hadapan.
Polisi yang mesra wanita, sudah tentu dia akan datang daripada pemimpin wanita.
Perang COVID-19 masih belum berakhir. Dalam kita berusaha memutuskan rantaian wabak ini, kita jangan terpedaya dengan virus maklumat palsu. Semak fakta melalui www.astroawani.com atau aplikasi Astro Awani. Teruskan berdisiplin, ratakan lengkungan pandemik ini.
The third wave of COVID-19 has taken us by storm. There's no room to take anything lightly. Everyone must follow all the steps to stop the spread of COVID-19, social distancing, face mask, follow these steps, this SOP, with the utmost discipline. Together, we can flatten the curve.
Hi, you're watching Consider This. I'm Melissa Edwards. With me is Sharad Kutan. If you've just joined us on the show, we're discussing recent political developments that have centered on meetings at the palace with a full spectrum of political representatives, driven in part by concerns about the efficacy of the emergency and pandemic management. Now, there seems to be broad agreement that public dissatisfaction is at an all-time high. The question is why and how can it be addressed? We speak now to Associate Professor Dr. Sarah Chinnasamy. She's a political and social media analyst with University Technology Mara Malaysia, UITM. Sarah, good evening. Thank you so much for joining us on the show tonight. Now, what does the Yang di-Pertuan Agong's request to meet with the heads of political parties, what does that signal to you?
Hi, Melissa. I would say that there is a need in terms of engagement and commitment of political party leaders and their supporters to execute and speeding the vaccination immunization program at the political grassroots. Therefore, I think a formula that integrating the political party leaders and its supporters and also including all the state rulers' involvement is needed at the moment to increase the number of those are getting vaccination. And I would say that this also could be linked to the YDPA upcoming meeting on the 18th June with all the state rulers. But now the questions of to what extent the political party leaders could help the government through their political parties and supporters. Adding to that, what kind of additional programs that the leaders could assist in speeding up the immunization program throughout their local community leaders so that elders...
Sorry, if I can interject. The reports coming out don't suggest that the discussions have been largely about the immunization issue. But do you think broadly, though, that the Agong's request to meet these leaders signals a lack of confidence in the current government's handling of the pandemic?
I don't think so, because the current government is actually handling the pandemic more than a year, but it's almost getting 2 years by now. And a lot of help from the government have been assisted all this while. And I think the part that need to be included here is the formula which I mentioned earlier, which need to be integrated between the political parties and their supporters and also their connectivity with the local community leaders. So that part is need to be strengthened and not need to be connected. And I would like to stress here that the political leaders should know their local community leaders, and with regards of that, those who are living in a rural area, elders, so it could be reached up easily. And for now, we could see that more than 100,000 people are getting vaccinated, and we want to speeding up the program. So more vaccine centers should be open. In order to that, all the stakeholders, they have to come down to help each other to execute this this immunization program.
Okay. Right. Sarah, recently Fitch Solutions put out a country risk report. And then in that report, they pointed out the hashtag Kerajaan Gagal on Twitter as an example of the people's growing frustration with this current administration. I'm just wondering, when you're observing trends on social media, what is your read of the sentiment on social media? Is this an adequate barometer of public sentiment?
Okay, well, on the social media perspective, of course, at the beginning, we could see a lot of mixed view regarding the vaccination program. And but now, as the people are getting their vaccination, more people are keep on posting about their photos that they are getting vaccinated, and including all the social media platform, including WhatsApp. So this is a kind of sign of encouragement among our community that we totally against the extremist views on the vaccination program.
The palace, the Selangor Sultan also came out with a statement saying how unhappy he was with the situation of vaccine distribution to the state of Selangor. I mean, it's not just on social media. The monarch himself, the Selangor monarch, is also unhappy.
That's why I mentioned earlier that we need a lot of people commitment, a lot of people, politician, leaders, state rulers involvement, so that everyone could be reached up with the vaccination registration and no one being left out from this program. And one more thing that I wanted to add here, Sharad, For current scenario, people are very busy with the COVID information and people wanted to get vaccinated and people are looking more opportunity in terms of information that we delivered to them. But I think on the advance, we could see that only politicians are now pushing the agenda to end the emergency period and to allow the parliament to reconvene as soon as possible. But then on the ground, we could see that people are now are very, very busy in thinking about vaccination. They wanted to get registration. And we could see that how in these past 2 weeks that when they opened the line for registration, it was very fast people fill in because everyone is concerned about our health.
Okay, so I just want to come back to that Fitch Solutions report, and that was looking at a country, Malaysia's political risk. And I wanted to ask you what you have observed in terms of Malaysia's global reputation when we're covered in foreign media. What has been, in the beginning of the pandemic, the international perspective was one of admiration of Malaysia's handling of the pandemic. Is that still the same, given that we are now in, you know, a real crisis period of dealing with COVID?
Okay. Based on my observation on the international mediation, we could see that how the international media have been portraying Malaysia, how we are handling the pandemic. Of course, it has been a biased reporting. Yet, we have to play an important role here to encounter international media reporting.
What do you mean by biased reporting? I mean, the facts are quite there. I mean, our rate of infectivity was higher than India's. I mean, what's the bias in that? I mean, it's just reporting facts, weren't they?
Of course, there are a lot of differences in terms of developed country and how they are portraying a developing country. It has been traditionally has been portrayed in on international media. But then, what I have stressed here is we need we need to play an important role to encounter the international media. So possible, maybe the source should come from Malaysia itself to encounter that kind of reporting major, like anyone could comment on behalf of that reporting, so that at the global, there are also reports which is favoring to our Malaysian government, the way we are handling the COVID pandemic. But most likely, when I'm looking at some of the international media, they are actually portraying our country like we are downgrading our democracy and also the way how we are handling the pandemic. But the mainstream media in Malaysia now, they are playing a very extensive role in terms of conveying the message to the public regarding the COVID. But at the same time, it is important to encounter international media reporting as well.
Okay, Dr. Sarah Chinnaswamy there from UiTM. That's all we have for you in this episode of Consider This. Thank you so much for watching the show tonight. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutin, signing off for the evening.
We will be back with you same time tomorrow. Till then, good night.